Well, there are good deeds, and there are good deeds, and more broadly, there are actions that contribute to or are emblematic of social justice. Some are quite effective, and some are less so. What happens when we want to do something that we think or even know is good for a person, but the person does not want what it is we prefer to do? In 2004, Preferred Care, an HMO based in Rochester, New York, determined that they would add a limited dental benefit to their Medicare Advantage plan beginning in January 2005. This benefit would be included in the standard offering of the plan without any additional cost to the members. My company, Health Economics Group, was selected to manage this dental benefit component. Health Economics Group is a third-party administrator, also based in Rochester. We've been managing dental plans and other employee benefits for more than 30 years. The HMO's objective was to add a benefit that would meet a consumer demand and improve the overall health of its members, while at the same time not exceeding a predetermined budget level. HMO actuaries and I developed a set of cost estimates, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I am really accurate. However, in this case, we were really wrong, and that's what we're going to be talking about. This paper presents the results of analyses of 5 years worth of data derived from claims submitted to Health Economics Group and paid on behalf of the HMO. The plan was limited to diagnostic and preventive dental benefits. If exams and cleanings were free, it was felt members would be likely to make regular periodic visits to their dentist. As is well known, dentists are often able to learn many things about a patient's overall health during an oral examination. Also, of course, if a dental problem is identified early enough, treatment is likely to be less costly than if the problem is identified late. Filling a small cavity costs a lot less and is a lot less bothersome and painful than doing a root canal and applying a crown. Prevention, when it comes to dentistry, really does make sense. While members were able to go to any dentist that they want to, they were guaranteed not to have to pay any out-of-pocket costs for exams and cleanings if they went to a network dentist. This table shows the services covered and the specific allowances paid. Over time, the allowances for most of the covered services were increased. The annual maximum amounts look low, but they're really quite reasonable given that the only benefits covered were exams, cleanings, and x-rays. The combined cost of periodic exams and cleanings for a single year and for 2 years, for a single visit per year and for two visits per year are shown in this table. The Medicare Advantage plan paid for up to two exams and cleanings each year. The number of people eligible for these dental benefits increased in four of the 5 years during the five-year period. In 2005, as you can see, 18,853 individuals age 65 and older were enrolled for the entire year. Entire year enrollment grew to 31,719. People came and went during a year as they joined the plan or as they left to go or move or do something else, but we wanted to look at people who were covered the entire year. We define utilization as the fraction of eligible or enrolled individuals on whose behalf we received a claim for services during the period. With this plan, as with most dental benefit plans, claims may be submitted either by the patient or by the dentist, and about half of them were submitted electronically. We looked at the dates of service, not the dates that the dental claims were processed. For purposes of this study, and for actuarial purposes in general, service dates are much more useful than process dates. Therefore, we are using as a measure of utilization our having received at least one claim form for at least one covered dental service having been provided during the period. Of the cohort of individuals age 65 and older who were eligible for these dental benefits throughout 2005, only 39% received dental care. Perhaps more important to those of us for whom public health is a passion, Three out of five who could have seen a dentist did not do so. The utilization fraction increased during the period. Of the cohort eligible throughout 2009, 51% received care. Just about half of those eligible, however, did not. This is where the HMO actuaries and I went wrong. We assumed that utilization among people aged 65 and older would be higher, close to 60%, or maybe even more. The utilization fraction has a direct bearing on dental plan cost. In the author's experience, the amount spent by and the amount of benefits paid on behalf of patients covered by dental benefit plans is relatively predictable and constant within a given age cohort. In essence, if you sit in a dental chair, the dentist is, on average, going to perform the same services on you as on others in your age group. The major variable is the fraction of a cohort who actually utilize the plan. While the numbers have to be adjusted for gender and for socioeconomic factors, including the richness of the dental benefit plan, age is a good predictor of dental demand. In this study, all of those eligible were at least 65 years old. This table shows, and again it's for the people who were eligible throughout the entire year, the average annual and monthly benefit costs, the amounts paid by the HMO for this coverage. Benefit cost for the eligible individuals who were patients, what we call the utilizers, was relatively constant for the first 3 years, and then it increased a bit in 2008, and then again by 21% in 2009, and we don't quite know why, and we're looking into this. More important for the HMO as well as for other organizations that fund dental benefits is the net cost per eligible individual. This simply is the product of the cost per utilizer multiplied by the utilization fraction. It sounds really simple, but it really is an important thing to keep in mind. The combined effect is shown in the column on the right side of the table. Average monthly cost for the entire group was $4.46 in 2005 and grew into $7.86 in 2009, but had all the eligible individuals been patients in 2009, the average monthly cost would have been approximately twice as much. Enrollment in this Medicare Advantage plan was not constant during the 5 years. Approximately 46,500 people in the greater Rochester area were enrolled at some point during the period. Of the 18,853, the number you remember, I'm sure, from a few slides ago, of these individuals enrolled continuously throughout 2005, 17,541 maintained their enrollment for the entire period. And we have this database, and it's really pretty interesting to look at. Analyses of data relating to the individuals who were 65 and older over a five-year period yield really interesting results. Results that are useful to those of us who must predict the cost of providing dental treatment to this growing and often vocal cohort. As Table 7 shows, a very large proportion of the group did not see a dentist at all in 5 years. This table shows the annual benefit cost to the HMO for the members who were eligible for the entire period. The annual cost per eligible member increased from $48.18 in 2005 to $93.77. It was an increase of 95%. But what was the total cost in terms of benefits paid to members of the Medicare Advantage plan to provide the diagnostic and preventive dental benefits to individuals who were continuously eligible for the entire five-year period? This is the answer. Had 100% of the individuals been dental patients, the average cost would have been close to $600. But utilization was so much less than 100%, it was approximately 60%. And so in the aggregate, the actual cost of benefits was just about $360. To summarize, the executives of the HMO knew that dental health is an important part of overall health. They also knew that removing at least some of the economic deterrent to the seeking of dental care would be helpful in encouraging the members of their Medicare Advantage plan all of whom were age 65 and older, I'll have to say again, to receive dental care on a regular basis. The HMO had some money available to put toward a dental benefit, excuse me, but not very much. It was felt that it would be especially beneficial for its members if dental examinations and cleanings at least were covered at or close to 100%. During the 5 years since introduction of the diagnostic and preventive dental benefit, utilization increased, but only in the fifth year did utilization exceed 50%. This came as a surprise to all of us involved with this program. Even more surprising, given the anecdotal experience suggesting that senior citizens really want dental coverage, and if only they had it, they would get their much-needed dental work attended to. But it was the fact that only 60% of the individuals who had this benefit for the entire 5 years took advantage of it. 40% did not see a dentist even once. The results were disappointing to HMO management and others of us who are concerned with public health. Dentistry is important. Most people should see a dentist periodically for a variety of reasons. Certainly, older people should receive dental care because dental health problems increase with increasing age. Just ask me. Much has been written about the important difference between the need for care and the demand for care. With respect to dental health, it is widely accepted that we all need to see a dentist at least annually. The data derived from this study corroborate the fact that the demand for dental care is much, much less than 100%, certainly among people 65 and older. And I've done lots of studies and made a lot of presentations at APHA meetings over the last 30 years showing that this is very consistent. When I used to teach at the Eastman Dental Center, I sometimes told the postdoc students that dentistry was something you can't give away to a third of the population. It didn't make them very happy, but that's what they were doing. The theme of this annual meeting is social justice. For a variety of reasons, some of them noble, free dental care was offered to a group of people who need it, but many did not want this benefit. Should public health professionals, like the Boy Scout who felt he had to do a good deed, escort that elderly lady across the busy intersection and take her to the nearby dental office? What if she doesn't want to go?
Thank you. And we have a few minutes now for questions, so I'd like to open it up and see if anyone has a question for any of our presenters. Why don't you? We'll bring a couple extra chairs up and come up, if that's all right.
Yes.
So I have a follow-up question to that. I was just curious if any kind of survey had been done of that population to determine why they didn't avail themselves of services, and sort of a follow-up on the issue of whether or not people had teeth. I'm wondering what percentage of that population as well.
One of the real problems is, I'm sure you know, dealing with aggregate claims data and the like, and also dealing with HMOs.